For the last time, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We have been looking at a series of sermons on the Christian soldier, and this will be our last sermon in this series. So let's turn to Ephesians 6, and we will read for the last time in this series Ephesians 6, verse 10 to verse 20. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to verse 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now in this last sermon, we want to consider the important subject of prayer, because this is the last thing that Paul mentions concerning the Christian warfare. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this is how Paul concludes the entire discussion about the spiritual warfare, about the Christian soldier. When he mentions this as the last and final thing, it is not because this is the least important thing, but in a sense, this is one of the most important things in the Christian warfare. Do you pray? Are you a Christian who is constantly engaging before God with prayers, with supplications for the glory, the success of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it to take the helmet of salvation and to hope for the glory? Is it to take the word of God and to read the words? Is it to belt yourself with integrity and truth? Is it to put on the shield of righteousness and say that you're protected by the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Easy to come to church and to fellowship with fellow soldiers? But do you pray? And this is the challenge as we think about the Christian warfare this afternoon. Now the first thing I want you to notice in this introduction is that prayer is not part of the Christian armor. We have looked at the six pieces of the Christian armor. We have talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. But you notice that in verse 18, when Paul here mentions about prayer, he does not include this as part of the Christian soldier's armor. In fact, it is not a piece of the armor. It stands outside the armor. This does not make it less important, like I said. This makes it very, very important. Because prayer is the power. Prayer is the energy. The energy and the power that gives might as we take the sword, as we put on the helmet, as we gird ourselves with truth. In that song we will sing later on, one of the stanzas say about the Christian armor, we must put on each piece of the armor with prayer. And this is what Paul is telling us. Pray always as you go to the battlefield. So we want to consider the method of prayer in the Christian conflict and warfare. First of all, pray always at all times. Secondly, watch in prayer for all saints. The text also says, thirdly, pray in the Spirit. So firstly, pray always at all times. These are searching words, isn't it? It challenges our daily spiritual habits. Pray always at all times. The text here calls us to pray. In fact, it does more than that. It tells us to pray always. So let's begin with speaking about the definition of prayer. What is prayer? Of course, we Reformed people, we are quite familiar with the Heidelberg Catechism. As we talk about prayer, our creed has a definition of what prayer is. We read it many times. Sometimes in preaching, we give that definition. But this afternoon, I want to read you another definition from a very old writer. He says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the soul to God. Through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised. You take this definition, it sounds very much like the definition in the Heidelberg Catechism. These words are given to us by John Bunyan, writer of Pilgrim's Progress. In his book, Praying with the Spirit and with Understanding, he gave us this beautiful definition of prayer. A sincere, sensible, affectionate, pouring out of the soul to God. Now, the phrase that is especially outstanding in this definition of prayer is that prayer is, as he says, a pouring out of your soul to God. Now, I find myself doing this especially when I pray alone to God. Now, you notice that in Christian fellowships, whether it's Bible study or on Sundays, when we come to pray for each other, our prayer is very formal, isn't it? Very orderly. We follow a routine. We pray after the prayer request. But seldom in prayer fellowship or in prayer meetings do we pour out our souls to God. But then when you close the door and you're alone with God and you are not conscious of anything else, no one to hear your prayers, you suddenly find yourself much more open in your prayer before God. You pour out your concerns, your burdens, your anxieties. In other words, you pour out your soul to God. And that is what prayer should be. We do that in a private closet, at home, in devotions. And I think that we learn to do this when we pray with each other. Pour your souls to God for the things that God has promised. Now, of course, praying alone is a beautiful thing. That's the time that most often you and I pour our souls to God and we become very open and honest. We speak freely. But the text here tells us that we are to pray always with all prayer. And what this means, first of all, is that the text here tells us there are a variety of patterns in Christian prayer. Pray with all prayers. Now sometimes, of course, this happens mostly with very new Christian converts. When they pray, they do not know really how to pray, and their prayer is just very a pattern after some words. Bless this food that we partake. Bless this day that I work. Bless this family. Bless this home. Bless the things that I do. Of course, we need to pray more than this. Shouldn't be just following a pattern, a form. There are many ways to pray. the old Anglican church book, the Book of Common Prayers, has morning prayers, afternoon prayers, evening prayers. And in the old Reformed church, there are prayers for thanksgiving, prayers for distress and crisis. There's private prayer, public prayers, prayers for personal growth, prayers for others. Here the text uses two words for the variety of prayers. Here there is prayer and then supplication. Both of these words are very unique and that requires an understanding. First of all, there is the word prayer. Now children, you use this word very often. I got exams coming, please pray for me. We use the word prayer, prayer meeting. Now whenever the New Testament uses this word prayer, this is actually a very meaningful word. The word in the Greek literally is made up of two words. Coming before God face to face. And it tells us something about the essence of prayer. Prayer is not opening a prayer book with ordered formal prayers and just reading the words. We can do that certainly, and we do that here in this church. But whether you are praying freely or according to a prayer pattern, prayer must always do this: bring you face to face with God. Because that is the definition of prayer in this word, prayer. Into the presence of God, face to face. That is why prayer is a very religious activity, a very sacred hour. It is really a sacred communion with the living God. Then there is the word here in this text, verse 18, prayer and supplication. Supplication. Well, supplication is what you and I do most often when we come for prayer meetings. Supplication means we bring our needs to God. The specific needs, we say to a brother and sister, please pray for me. I have a very important decision to make. I'm very uncertain about tomorrow, confused about life. I need guidance. What should I do in this situation? I have specific needs. And this is where we bring our supplications to God. And Paul here says, concerning the Christian warfare, we pray and we also supplicate. Now certainly he can add to this, but his point is this: in your entire Christian life, there must be a variety in your prayer. There must be many praying activities in your life. He says, pray always with all prayer. Now let's consider the words here. He says, pray always. Pray all kinds of prayer. But that is not enough. Pray always. Now what does this mean? Pray always. Is he saying here, just go on praying all the time? The text says, pray always. Do you do that? Now let me explain what he means here. First of all, pray always at least has this meaning. First of all, it means that prayer must be a very vital part of your life. Pray always. It must be a very important part of your life. I want to make a very strong assertion. You may challenge it, you may not like it, but this is a true statement. If you don't pray, you are not a Christian. I like the way Charles Spurgeon, that great 19th century preacher, puts it. He says, God has no dumb children. You may not be able to speak, verbally handicapped, but if you're a Christian, your heart, your soul, your emotions, your life can never be dumb. You want to cry to God because you desire God in your life. When you are prayerless, God will seem unreal. And this is where you and I have to search our hearts. There are sometimes complaints from backsliding Christians, God is so unreal. God is not a living person. I don't sense Him. I don't feel Him. He is so distant. Where is God in my life? Some simple response to that is, do you even talk to God? You talk to your friends. Friday nights, you go for happy hour. Your friends are so real. But do you talk to God? Do you pray to Him? If you don't, how can God be ever real in your life? God has no dumb children. If you don't pray, spiritual realities will always be at a distance. You will never feel it. You will never sense it. You will never know them. So praying always means, first of all, that prayer must be a vital part in your life. Praying always with all prayers also means this: we must not pray only now and then, once in a while, occasionally. If that is the way you pray, then you are a very poor Christian. I'm careful to say this. I'm not saying that you are not a Christian. But if your prayer life is like, once in a while I pray, I go for exams, I pray, I have a major decision to make, I pray, I have guidance in my life, I'm not sure about tomorrow, I need help, I'm desperate, I pray. But at other times, you don't give praise to God, you don't pray regularly, daily, then you are a very poor Christian. I want to put this to you. Even if you have no needs in your life, and God is so good to you, you are so sufficient in your life, you have enough savings in the bank, your life is good, tomorrow is certain, you are pursuing a good university degree, you have a good relationship with parents, with friends, even if all your needs are satisfied and sufficient, you still need to pray. Simple fact is that you need to talk to God to know Him. Then praying always means this too: you pray in all situations. You pray in all situations. Praying always does not mean you pray all the time, but it means you pray at all times. The two are not the same. Paul is not saying you pray all the time, like the monks in the castles, in the monasteries, in the Middle Ages, they keep on chanting and chanting and chanting, reciting the prayers. Praying at all times is not the same as praying all the times. Paul is saying you pray at all times, praying always. Moments when you are unhappy, sad, distressed, depressed, you pray. Moments when you are happy, when you know that God is blessing you and you are full of the emotion of joy, you pray. Moments when you're struggling with relationship, what do? Besides talking to your friends, you pray. When you are angry and your anger is taking control of your life and you are becoming very explosive, you pray. Moment when you are giving in to temptation and you're yielding to all your addictions and your behavior is unbecoming as a Christian and you're doing wrong things in life, you pray. At all times, in all situations, you pray. And Paul is telling us, in a Christian warfare, you pray. Always. Second, he says, besides praying always, watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And the second thing we want to say this afternoon in this sermon is this: watch in prayers for all the saints. Now in these words here, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Paul teaches us the manner in which we are to pray. He says, watch with perseverance and watch for all the saints. Let's talk about watching for all saints first of all. Watch for all saints. Easy for us to look at ourselves, consider our own needs, and then we pray for our own personal things. Easy for you to do that, isn't it? We are living in a very self-centered society, very egoistic. The other person is not important. What is important is I make a life for myself. Spiritually, sometimes we get sucked into this egocentric mentality. My needs are important. Not the church, not yours, but my own needs. So I pray for myself. As long as I am well, it's okay. We seldom inquire about the case of others. And a good question to ask is, do you go to your brothers and sisters and say, can I pray for you? Do you do that in Christian fellowship? Paul says, pray for all saints. Now let me give you a very important reason why you and I have to watch out for all saints and pray for all saints. The context is the battlefield. God never calls a single person to fight the battle. He calls an army of Christian soldiers. No one enters the battlefield alone. We fight as a team. That means it's very important that we mutually care for each other. Very important that you pray for all saints. Now the kingdom of God advances only when the church on the whole is advancing. This is a very simple, important truth. Tremendous implications. The kingdom of Christ advances only when the church on the whole advances. By this I mean that the kingdom of God does not advance if your mindset is, I am progressing individually, personally my spiritual wealth, life is good, I don't care about the church. I even dare say that your personal growth, important though that is, if that is all that you care about, does not advance the kingdom of God. If you say, well, spiritually I'm doing so well, I'm reading the old writers, I'm reading the reformers and the Puritans, I'm reading the old King James, I'm reading books in theology, I'm developing my spiritual discipleship, but you don't serve. You have no corporate concern for the Church of Jesus Christ. You don't care for brothers and sisters. Even that happens to you, and that is all that you care, I say the kingdom of God advances without you. Because the kingdom of God advances when the church on the whole advances. Recently, of course, so many of us were excited about the Euro 2004 soccer competition, and surprisingly Greece won. No superstars. No Zinedine Zidane. No David Beckham and Michael Owen. And when they reached the finals, boring final. No superstars. But they won. You know why? They advanced as a team. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. That is why it's so important for us to watch and pray for all saints. Watch for others. Do you do that? There are those who are weak and wounded. Do you pray for them? Sometimes we become so distracted in our own afflictions and our own problems that we say, my problem is the most important. Others need to talk to me. I want you to pray for me. I want your attention. I need to be satisfied with your fellowship. I know that is important, but have you given a thought to the sufferings and the problems of others? Are you concerned about those who are weak and wounded as well, given into temptations? Do you watch for those who are stricken with sickness, the elderly, those with terminal illnesses, cancer, heart problem, those not in church, backsliding, lonely and withdrawn, those who are needing guidance in their life? Do you watch for them in church, in your life? Paul says here later on in verse 19, pray and watch for me. Now the example of the Apostle Paul here is very outstanding. This is because here he is in prison. In prison he writes this letter to the church. And when he closes this letter to the church in Ephesus, he says, pray always for all saints, pray for me. You know what his prayer request is? What would your prayer request be if you are in the position of Paul in prison? And of course, Paul knows that this might be his status and situation from now on, behind bars. What would your prayer be? Oh Lord, break open the doors of prison and give me freedom so that I can be out in the streets to preach the gospel. Noble though that prayer be, Paul never prays that way. Take me out of prison. He says, pray for me that, verse 20, that I may speak boldly as an ambassador in bonds. Even though you may have problems and sufferings, the prayer you need to make is the prayer of the Apostle Paul here. Make me useful in my afflictions, rather than, oh God, free me from my problems. Pray for me, he says, for others. Though he was difficult in his life right now, he was very concerned about others. Are you? The word that he uses to tell us to pray and to watch for others in the Greek is a word that is very vivid, full of picture. I like the definition of William Hendrickson in his commentary when he says watching. He says watching is this: keeping oneself awake as one who watches for someone or something. Keeping oneself awake as one who watches for someone or something. Some of you do night shifts, clean shifts. The picture would be you are doing the night shift. Maybe the day before you didn't have a good sleep. Maybe you are busy running errands for the family and for yourself. You didn't rest well. You have to go back to the office, do the night shift, and you have to keep your eyes watching on your workers, supervising them, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And because you didn't have a good sleep, your eyes are heavy, your body is tired, and you feel like going to sleep, but this is your duty. You are paid to do this in the night shift. You struggle to keep your eyes open so that you supervise the workers. Now this, William Hendrickson says, is the word, is the picture. Sometimes it's very tiring, isn't it? Counseling others, watching over the souls of others. That's why Paul says, watch with perseverance. Easy to focus on our own needs, very difficult to pray for someone with many needs, because sometimes you feel like giving up. The brethren is very demanding. And I'm sure you notice this, you experience this. You have a person, he has many needs. Usually the person who is hurting or not well is very demanding. I need your time. I need your attention. I need you to come. I need you to stay the night with me. Demanding. Sometimes, even though you give very sound, godly advice, the person repeats the sin and the weakness, and you want to give up. Watch, he says, with perseverance. And then about praying in the spiritual warfare, finally he says, pray in the Spirit. Verse 18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now first of all, as we begin the third point, I want to explain about what it means about praying in the Spirit. There are some difficulties in understanding these particular wordings. Pray in the Spirit. There are Christian writers who ask that question, a very good question to ask, is Paul here speaking about praying in the human spirit or praying in the Holy Spirit? Praying in the human spirit will be you pray with sincerity, you pray with honesty and openness, your spirit seeking God in that prayer. I take the position that here Paul is really referring to praying in the Holy Spirit. As you have it in the King James, supplication in the Spirit, big capital S. Now that doesn't solve all the difficulties, because if you say that here the meaning is praying in the Holy Spirit, what precisely is the meaning? On the one hand, you have the charismatics who emphasize praying in an angelic tongue. Praying in the Spirit means that you speak in tongues, you become very ecstatic, no one understands you, but this is because you're praying in the tongues of angels, and God hears your prayer. You may not understand what you're saying, but God understands, praying in the tongues of angels. Now, for myself, I do not take this explanation, because in Acts chapter 2, comparing verse 4 and verse 6, tongues are actually known languages. So what is it to pray in the Spirit? My explanation is this. Praying in the Spirit means praying in the strength that the Holy Spirit gives. Praying in the Spirit is praying in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this for a number of reasons. Let me explain to you. First of all, the flesh has no strength to pray. We use that phrase very often. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And that often is the excuse that we give when somebody says, come to church, go for Bible study, attend a prayer meeting. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Honestly, we have a very weak human flesh. It's fallen, ruined by sin, and therefore it is very weak. Now the flesh is very willing to do many, many things. The flesh is very willing to run, to play, but very unwilling to pray, because it has no power to pray, a lot of energy to play. And also because the sinful flesh craves for earthly things only. If you have time, you read Galatians 5. Paul compares the conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and he tells us in Galatians 5, this is what the fallen flesh craves for: earthly sensuous things, things of this life, material things, wealth, reputation, relationship, and all these things that are concerned only with earthly affairs. He has no desire to pray. This means when you find yourself praying less and less in your spiritual life, it means that the flesh is taking control of your spiritual life. And therefore, it's something very important that when we begin to pray, that we change our mindset at the moment. It's very easy to go through a list of requests, but before you enter into the presence of God, your mindset must change. God, I cannot pray unless you take me into your presence by your Holy Spirit. The flesh is unwilling. Work that desire in my life. Number two, the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to pray. Now, the excellent passage to read to understand this is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to that, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 26 and verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this text here teaches us that the Spirit helps us in our praying, especially in those moments when you are very weak. You can be spiritually weak and therefore you have no spiritual life to pray, energy to pray, or you can be very weak in your body and you're so afflicted that you're discouraged, you have no strength to pray. And the text here seems to be speaking about physical infirmities that affect your psychological, emotional, spiritual life. And in this situation, the text says, the Spirit is there to help you to pray. How? He does not give you words. He does not give you angelic tongues. The text here says, He puts groanings in your heart. Powerful way of praying. The most moving prayers are prayers with groanings. Not necessarily the most beautiful, eloquent prayers, but the most moving prayers. Because the Spirit put the groanings in your life. Those are the moments that when you pray, your eyes are wet with tears. And your heart is burdened with problems. But at the same time, you know that God takes that burden. The Spirit puts the groanings. And again, this is what true prayer is. Feeling God in the soul. I like to use the analogy of a kettle of water that is put over a fire. The water boils vigorously. And that is what true prayer is. The soul within is moving vigorously. The Spirit puts the groaning, the longing, the desire. And then you feel that you are in the presence of God. Consciously, you know that you are praying and God is hearing. Thirdly, the Spirit reveals to us our real needs. The Spirit reveals to us our real needs. Now it's very easy again to come to God with your own list, your own prayer request. God, I want this to happen in my life. Now, we all know in our own studies, when we study management or about how we ought to take care of our life, that we distinguish between wants and needs. Needs are important and basic. We add to those lists of needs wants. Things that maybe you can afford, you can buy and you can be satisfied with a little bit more. And sometimes in this consumer society, we get confused with priorities. We put wants over our needs because we are misled by advertising. Somebody has a Nokia new model. You look at yours, it's an old monochrome Nokia handphone. And then the one becomes a need. We're confused by advertising. And so we go to God. God, I want this to happen. Oh God, I want to go overseas for my degree. Nothing wrong itself. But then after your father tells you, I don't have money. You're going to stay in the University of Singapore. I have no money to send you overseas. And then you go praying to God, God, I want to go overseas. Is it consistent with the resources your family has? Is that a want? Is there a need? And this is many times how we pray to God. And when the Spirit speaks to your heart, this is what He does. He shows you what your real need is. Not material things, not things that you prefer, but things that God wants you to learn. You pray, for example, God, take this sickness away. We all want to pray like this. When the doctor say, you have a problem. I would pray like that too. Take that sickness away. After years, it still stay. Challenge is, will you change your praying? You should. God led me in this suffering, learn to be useful for you. That was how Paul prayed. Because that was how the Spirit showed him how he ought to pray. So praying in the Spirit is not something mystical, something which is very magical. Praying in the Spirit is a very sensible way of praying. God, show me what I need to do in this situation. My flesh is weak, teach me how to pray. So really praying in the Spirit is this. Oh God, I have no strength to pray. My heart is so troubled. I'm unsure about tomorrow. Give me your light. Grant me understanding. Give me the Spirit, that the Spirit may show me what I need to ask and how I ought to pray. In closing, again I want to impress upon you that the way we think today is so changed, is so different. We're so distracted in life. And that is very against us, that is very against the spirit of praying. Praying requires attention, focus. We need to be conscious of God, our own needs. We need to depend on the Spirit. It's a very holy, sacred spiritual activity. It's not just saying words. Many times we have very short attention span because we are entertained in lies by pictures, by images, by movies. We have very short attention span. And when we pray, we get easily distracted. So in spiritual warfare, as we pray, the first thing you need to pray for is to overcome that unwillingness, that prayerlessness. Overcome that. Make me prayerful in my life. How much do you pray? Always? The text says pray always. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that we have a spirit of laziness many times, although we say too that our spirit is willing, but our flesh many times is weak because we're distracted by our own earthly concerns. Oh God, make us prayerful in life, not only praying for our own needs but praying for others. And even when we are so weak and we have our own afflictions, teach us to pray for the needs of the church, for the glory of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to constantly pray that Christ may be revealed and shown and manifested in my life, in the things that I do, in the preaching of the gospel, in all that is in this life, so that Christ and His glory may be shown and seen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.